Well, let me turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. Certainly thankful to be here and tonight, and you know, we've got so much out traveling. I'm glad that Brother Allen and Sister Elaine can be with us. And, you know, they've been busy in the work God's given them to do. I'm glad they got a chance to come be with us tonight. I'm going to ask for your prayer tonight because I've got a great burden on my heart, and had it at Mars Hill as well, and preached along the same line at Mars Hill, and just got a great burden for the lost. I want to be a help to you. I want to be a blessing. And, you know, a very heavy burden. I know we've had even some of our preachers that kind of made light of preaching about hell recently. I've heard different ones talk about hell and how we shouldn't be trying to scare people, you know, and kind of pointing at us preaching hell and how that, you know, that we're trying to scare people into being saved. And we're not trying to do anything out of order. Certainly not trying to do anything in a way that would be, you know, trying to manipulate anyone. But at the same time, hell is hell, and it needs to be preached. And it needs to be preached for what it is, and we shouldn't try to sugarcoat it in any way. We need to understand that hell is a real place, and that's where lost sinners go that don't trust the Lord. We're going to begin reading Luke chapter 16, verse 20. Well, let's back up verse 19. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Let me stop here just for a minute. We have here a parting at death. You have one man that goes in one direction and one man that goes in another direction. You know, we're living in a day and time where it's very popular for people to speak about hell as the grave, that there's no more than just the grave. There's a couple of places in Scripture where maybe it's used in that way, but it's not used that way here. You know, Job talked about being in the depths of hell when he was in the belly of the whale. He was describing a bad place, and you know, just as bad as he could think of, at least here on this earth. But when you think of hell, hell is a real place, and that's where this rich man lifted his eyes. Now, there's a great effort to try to say, you know, speak about anyone that speaks about God in our day and time, especially in Hollywood, on the news, and different places on the TV, and even in the radios and things. Some of the songs that's being written now. Worldly songs that speak of people going to heaven when they die. It don't matter their lifestyle. It don't matter the fruit that they showed in this life. It don't matter if they were very perverted in their ways. It don't matter if they ever trusted in Christ or not. They're preached as being in heaven. And that's just not the case. You know, a man can stand at your funeral and stand, you know, over your casket, and they can preach all they want to about you being in heaven. But unless you trusted Jesus, you will not be in heaven. You will lift your eyes in hell. And that's a very concerning thing. And for us to say we should be, you know, very much concerned, very much burdened about lost sinners going to hell. But it's being made light in our day and time. And I believe even the church as a whole, that we're not taking it as serious as it ought to be. You know, Paul made a statement. He said, I wish myself a curse from Christ to see my brethren saved. It was very, very important to Paul that no one went to hell. And he wanted to do everything he could to see that someone didn't go to hell. But in today's time, it's been made very, very light of, and we shouldn't. Verse 23, And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and dark tormented. And besides all this, so Abraham said, really, I'm making a point that's useless. It's a point of vanity. that in life you had it good, he had it bad. He suffered in life, you had it easy, you fared sumptuously, he had problems. He said, but besides all that, that's beside the point altogether. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That point has been proven. Jesus proved that point. He allowed Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Different Lazarus, but he allowed his friend Lazarus to be raised from the dead. People still would not believe in Jesus. Jesus himself preached that he would be resurrected on the third day. He proved that. He was resurrected the third day. He was seen of over 400 witnesses and many that would deny what they even saw. And they still did not believe. So people have seen the dead being raised again and still they would not believe. In fact, whenever Jesus died on the cross, there were things that should have shook everybody at the core, literally and spiritually, should have shook them. There's an earthquake, the rocks rent, the veil was ripped in twain. Many, many things happened whenever Jesus was crucified. Even the daytime turned to dark. And people still denied that Christ was the Savior of the world. And so, he said, well, if you'd let Lazarus go back and tell them, they'd believe if he come from the dead. That Moses, Father Abraham said, no, they wouldn't. They have the Word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Old Testament. And they have enough that if they would just believe that they could be saved. But if they won't believe the Word of God, then they're not going to believe some miracle that they see. Have you ever had someone describe something to you and you knew that they had no clue what they were talking about whenever they told you? You know, you know they have no clue what they're talking about. They're just talking. We don't give a lot of attention to people like that, do we? You ever had somebody, I know I used to tell my grandma how I was going to raise my children. And she said, you better watch what you're saying. Because whenever you get them, things will probably be a little different than what you expect. And boy, was she ever right. It's completely different. Once you've experienced it, it's different than whenever you're just looking toward raising children. I thought about going swimming. And I had an older cousin. And of course, we went to the creek. I know that's almost forbidden in our days. People scared to death might get something, but we went to the creek. It didn't kill us. We enjoyed it, and that's what we did most of the time. And I had an older cousin that he was just dead set to try to drown me. He loved to try to dump my head underwater. Anytime I got out in the deep, he was going to swim under me, pull my legs down. He wanted to drown me. And he had me about half scared to death a lot. And he would just constantly dunk us or scare us in some kind of way. And where we went swimming, there was a log that was under the water. And it had enough space under it that a man could go underneath it. There's just enough space for a body. And he would dare us. I double dog dare you to swim under that log. In first place, you know, I wouldn't even done it if he wasn't there. But him being there, that made it worse. I wasn't about to do it. But he would do it. Brother Richard, he would swim under that thing and he would get under there and he would kind of shake a little bit. And he would scoot out the other side and he'd do it over and over. And he'd just tempt us. You do it. Why don't you do it? And there come a time where he swam under that log and he got stuck. And at first, we thought he was just, you know, putting on the show like he always did until you looked down in that water and you could see the expression on his face. and we knew he was stuck. And we went down and we began to pull on him, and we pulled as hard as we could, and we would wiggle and wiggle and finally rip some of his clothes to get him out from under that log. And when he come out from under that water, he looked at water safety completely different from that point on. He didn't look to try to dunk anybody. He wasn't trying to drown anybody anymore. He saw it from a different perspective. He had experienced it. He had experienced what that was like to drown. And so it changed everything about him. Now, there's a lot of statements, a lot of things are said about hell. And no one really has a good understanding of it, except for what God tells us. And when God says something, I believe it. And it don't matter who else believes it. It don't matter what else is said. It don't matter what society has kind of built up in their mind. If God says something, I just believe it. That's what I want you to do. Because see, it's easier. I believe we can get a more accurate picture from a witness. This man here is a witness because he's experienced hell. And Jesus is the one that relayed his testimony to us. And so if there's anything you can believe what Jesus said as being accurate. And there's statements made all the time about hell. You know, somebody will tell someone, you just go to hell. That's one of the worst statements I've ever heard in my life. A person that makes that statement, and if you make it, I want to encourage you to stop. Don't say that. Don't ever say that to anybody, because that's a place, when you make a statement like that, that comes from total ignorance. I think about Jesus when he hung on the cross and he looked down at people that were ignorant. I'm not talking about dumb people. I'm talking about people that just are clueless. They have no clue. He looked upon them and he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." There's a lot of people making statements about hell. They are clueless and ignorant of the truth when they make them. Hell's not a place you'd wish on your enemies. If we understood just exactly what it was like, if we had witnessed it, we wouldn't wish that on our enemies. You know, I hear people say, "Well, so and so will be waiting on me when I get there." That's another ignorant statement. Nobody gonna be waiting on you to come. Nobody gonna be glad to see you when you get there. It don't matter who it is. It wouldn't matter if it's family. They're not gonna be glad that you showed up. They're not. Gonna be a party like you've never seen before. They're writing country songs about that. Oh, probably other songs too. Gonna be a party like you've never seen before. Oh, no. Nobody's gonna be partying, not gonna be living it up. I'm gonna bust hell wide open and speak like you're proud of it. I tell you, to stop and think about hell. I heard somebody make a statement like this, said, "I'm so bad that even the devil wouldn't have me." Don't think you that bad. There's been people that's worse than you, and they ended up in hell too. And besides, hell is not, you know, you think about the devil. He's not there taking inventory, and he's not there, you know, checking people in and out and things like that. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. He's among us. He's pretty free to go and to go where he wants to go. And he's working up to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. That's what he's doing. It's not about him. It's not up to the devil. That's where people go that don't trust Jesus. And so I want us to get the recorded statement of a witness tonight. Bible said that first thing when this rich man lifted his eyes in hell, the very first thing was that he was in torment of flames. Torment of flames. That word torment comes from torture. It means tortured. He was tortured by flames. And about this time, you know, somebody may come along and say, "Well, I cannot believe, brother, I just don't believe that a God that loves everybody would send somebody to hell." Listen, when you look for the love of God, don't look at hell. That's where God allows people to go that reject Him, that step over the blood of Christ. Whenever you look for the love of God and the long-suffering and the mercy of God, look to Calvary, because that is where He sacrificed His Son so you wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. That's where you find love. You find love in that He's allowed you to live to this point, and He's allowed you to sin and be convicted by the Word of God so that you could change your heart. That's where you find the mercies of Christ. Mercies of God. He lifted His eyes in hell. He felt the effects of the fire without being consumed. You know, that's something I don't believe I can stand here and describe to you. The Bible says there was a burning bush one time. It burned and it wasn't consumed. And you know, I think that's the closest example I can find, but I don't believe we can really comprehend that. Just to understand, this man said, I've been tortured here. I'm in torment. I'm being tormented in these flames. And the Bible said he longed for just a drop of water, but there was no mercy there. And so this man, he wanted some 2,000 plus years ago, wanted a drop of water. Can you imagine not having a drop of water in 2,000 years? I can't even imagine that. A lot of other things that you might take for granted here on this earth, that it would be a luxury in hell, but it won't be there. There won't be no way to get it there. There won't be no way to get out. There won't be no way to fix the mistake you've made by being in hell in the first place. There's no way. You know, whenever I make a mistake, the first thing I want to do is try to fix it. Could you imagine making a mistake and there's absolutely no way to fix it, to make it right in all of eternity? Hell's a real place. Next thing we notice about this man lifting his eyes in hell was he remembered the man that sat at his gate. The first thing come to mind was not Grandpa, it wasn't Uncle Joe somewhere. It was the man that sat at his gate. Why do you remember him? Well, because he had such a hard time. I believe it's more than that. The reason I believe it's more than that is because he requested that man go back and preach to his brothers. I believe he tried preaching to him. He at least understood what it would take to get saved. Let him go back and preach so that they'll believe and they won't come into this place. And so, can you imagine being in hell and remembering the times, the opportunities you had to get saved? The opportunities that you had to hear the Word of God, that your heart was convicted and you stepped over it. You put it off. Regret. He had a mind that he was able to focus upon the past, even though he was being burned. Even though he was in flames and being tortured, he had a mind that he was able to think clearly. So he didn't go into shock whenever he found himself in these flames. He feels the flames, he's tortured by them, but he's able to think clearly. I've said there's a gulf that's been fixed so that if you find yourself in hell, there's no passing over to the other side. That eliminates one religion. There's no purgatory. There's no working your way out. Hell's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where that the fire is never quenched. And now, if this man, this rich man, I'm going to call him the witness. If this witness from hell could be released and speak to us, preach to us, preach to people in this world, he wouldn't come to Clear Branch and invite you to come join him in hell. He would come here and he would say, don't you dare come to a place called hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to lift your eyes in hell. He'd go to his brothers. And he wouldn't say, it's good to see you. I hope to see you soon. He'd go to his brothers. He said, whatever you do, you trust Jesus. Don't you dare
make the mistake I made.
Don't you end up in hell. There's a song written and made a statement about Christians and what Christians believe. He said, he asked the question, he said, what if they're wrong? You know, you stop and say, what if I am wrong? What if I stand up here and preach and I'm confused and, you know, it's really not the Spirit of God leading it all, and really there's no God and there's no Bible, and, you know, Bible's not really the truth. What if all that was wrong? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? I have avoided cheating on my wife. I have avoided going out and getting drunk and coming, you know, with a hangover all the time and things like that. I've avoided a lot of things in life, and I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. I'm not avoiding sin, you know, altogether. I make mistakes, but said, boy, you've missed out on a lot. Really, what have I missed out on? Pleasure's a sin for a season, Brother Brad, but is it really pleasure? I mean, it's more like a mirage. It seems like it's good at the time, but it never ends up good. But on the other, in that song, he says, what if they're wrong? But then he turns around and he asks the question, but what if they're right? What if they're right? I stand here today. It wouldn't matter who believes me. I know the church here, you believe what I'm preaching, but it wouldn't matter if anybody did. I still believe it's the truth. I believe hell's a real place, and I believe that lost sinners lift their eyes in hell. And I believe that the moment that you lift your eyes there, you immediately understand the mistake you've made, and you understand that you're not going to have a chance to fix it. And there's nobody you want to come to join you while you're there. I believe this rich man would beg us, do not come into an awful place called hell. Now, hell's not a hangout spot for the afterlife. It's not a place you pass through and eventually get to the other side or overcome it. Sometimes statements aren't made. Brother Jake, you hear people make statements about hell, and somebody say, well, that person over there going through a hard time, they're experiencing hell on earth. There's a lot of people that have had some hard times in life, more so than others. There's a lot of people that have experienced some torment. There's a lot of people had their hearts broken into a million pieces. But there's nothing on this earth we can compare to hell. It's not. Look over at Jude, if you will. Go ahead and turn to the book of Jude. There's no place on this earth that compares to hell. You know, I've tried to stand and preach hell and describe it and how real it is. There's not even a fiery place. If you found yourself in a building and it was burning down and you realized you were trapped in hell, that there's no way to even compare that to what hell's going to be like, because on earth, whenever a body touches fire, it begins to be consumed. If you experience burning for just a short time, less than a minute, your body would be consumed. Fire will kill you. But in hell, a body experiences these things, this torture and torment, but it's not consumed. Brother Mike, I just have to confess, I don't know how to preach that. I don't know how to describe that. I don't even fully understand. The Bible calls it the second death. It's not like the death we picture. We look at death here on earth, that's the worst thing that happened, is you get killed and you're dead. But it's appointed to man wants to die. It's been appointed to us. We're going to see death, and you know it's not this big scary booger if you're saved. It's just falling asleep and waking up with the Lord. The angels escort you. But for the lost sinner, there's a second death, and it's the death of hell. Life here on earth is snuffed out by fire, but hell, the torment is real, and it's everlasting until you're cast into a lake of fire. That don't sound any better. Jude, verse 22. And some have compassion, make a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I want to speak to us that are saved just for a moment. God said we need to have compassion. And the type of compassion that's making a difference. I want to ask you, maybe our hearts be convicted tonight. Are we having compassion to a point where it's really making a difference in the lives of all sinners? If we're not, then we need to reassess how we're living. Because my life here on this earth is supposed to make a difference in the life of those around me. Just like those early church members, early saints, that they were turning the world upside down for Christ, we need to at least be making a ripple in the water. We need to be making a difference. And so, he said, have compassion, make a difference in the lives of these others. Some you save with fear. I'm not trying tonight, this is not a scary tactic. I'm not telling you a ghost story. I'm not trying to get you emotionally worked up. I'm trying for you to understand you need to fear going to a place called hell. It is terrible, it's awful, and you don't want to go there. You don't want to lift your eyes in hell. He said, pluck them out of the fire. Some, you just plucked them out of the fire. Do what you've got to do. Of course, I know Lord leading. We do what we can. We sacrifice our own lives to keep someone from going to hell. And so, tonight, there's some that may be on the edge of plunging into eternity lost. If you're sitting here lost, that might be you. Could you imagine waking up tomorrow lifting your eyes in hell? Rather than lifting your eyes to go to work, you lift your eyes and you're in hell. And you realize immediately you made the biggest mistake of your life and there's nothing you can do about it for all of eternity. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternal regret with that's going to set in and linger forever and no desire to see anyone. And listen, Bible says outer darkness. So will you really be able to see anybody if they were there anyway? Outer darkness for eternity. Bible says that God is going to wipe away all tears one day. For us that are saved, going to wipe away all tears. But have you ever just stopped to ask yourself, why are those tears there to start with? We've been carried up to be with the Lord, to be there forever with Him, and He's going to have to wipe away tears. Reckon why? I believe there's going to be extra tears that need to be wiped away. It's not going to be all tears of joy either. It's going to be extra tears that need to be wiped away for those who have failed to let their light so shine before others. Whenever we see the opportunities that we have passed over, whenever we see that we have taken hell way too lightly, and we haven't been concerned for lost sinners like we should have, and we see that if you could just made a difference, maybe over here you could have plucked this one from hell. Maybe you could have made a difference. There's going to be a need for the Lord to wipe away tears. If you're here and you're lost, today is the day of salvation. God loves you. There's no doubt. Whenever you speak about hell, you may say, well, that just don't sound like a loving God. There's no doubt God loves you. He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. So that you wouldn't have to experience hell, so that you would have the opportunity to escape. Jesus paid your sin debt. If you believe on Him, you would not perish. If you would repent and trust Jesus, He'd save you right here, right now. There's no hoops to jump through. There's nothing special you'd have to do. You have to turn to the Savior and believe on Him. That's love. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that you'd be condemned. He came and died on the cross because you're condemned already. And you need a Savior. Won't you trust Jesus? Find eternal life by grace through faith. Can I stand and plead with you? Don't go to hell. Don't lift your eyes there. You trust Jesus while you have opportunity. Well, ask for something.